New statistics suggest agencies are taking a tougher stance with errant contractors. The Government Accountability Office charts a doubling of suspensions and debarments at six agencies in a single year. And the numbers are even more dramatic when you look at the past five fiscal years. From 2009 to 2013, suspensions and debarments rose from just 19 to 271 at these agencies. Now, GAO says the agencies have addressed staffing issues. They've made it easier to report fraud and misconduct related to grants and done some other things to make their processes run better. We take a look in our weekly Legal Loop segment with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
So, Joe, you're a procurement attorney and you work with a lot of companies. What does this GAO report say to you?
Well, I mean, it says to me that the government is increasing its enforcement activity and providing more resources to suspension and debarment officials, with a result that the amount of activity in this area, including actual suspension and debarments, is increasing.
And who in the agency is that responsible person? Is it the contracting officer?
Well, in different agencies, there are different officials, but usually there's one agency-wide suspension and debarment official who will handle that that activity. This whole event started, I think, back in 2011 when GAO studied these six agencies and decided that they weren't doing enough in the suspension and debarment area and made some recommendations that the agencies followed.
Yeah, and that actually goes to what you were saying before. It's clear from this that the agencies have stepped up their attention to this, but stepped up from what? Was the baseline, how was the baseline?
Well, the total number of suspension and debarment actions by these six agencies was only 19 in fiscal 2009 and 2010.
Well, that's almost like they're not doing anything at all.
Some weren't. Some had zeros in those years. By 2013, however, it was 271, so that's a very substantial increase.
And just to review for us what it means to be suspended or debarred, it's not necessarily like you're in jail, right?
Well, it's not in jail, but you're out of business. If you're suspended, you cannot get any federal government contracts or can't get your contract options exercised for a period of time, generally not to exceed 18 months while allegations are investigated. If you're debarred, that's for a term of years, usually 3 years, but I've seen them last much longer than that. And that is basically to protect the government from dealing with a company that has been determined to be unreliable.
But there's something in there that says this is not punishment against the company, right? There's a subtlety in debarment and suspension that's not the same as like if they were taken to court.
Exactly. It's not a term that you serve like a prison term. It's really a period of time during which the government is protected from having to deal with you.
And why do companies get suspended or debarred? I mean, we know, of course, about BP. That was a big one. But what are the more everyday reasons why you might do that?
Well, they fall into three or four categories. That the probably one of the largest categories is the commission is conviction rather of a crime involving fraud or other criminal activity in connection with a contract. There can also be a civil action, such as a false claims action, that could also be grounds for debarment. But then there's a whole laundry list of things that basically go to one's present responsibility as a government contractor, including such things as a willful failure or repeated failure to perform your contracts. Those are all causes for debarment. Not paying your taxes is cause for debarment, for example. So, you know, anything that makes you an unreliable contractor pretty much is a potential cause for debarment or suspension.
And in practice, do you see agencies waiting for some sort of legal, like a lawsuit or other sort of perhaps a harsher threat before they act on suspension and debarments?
I think that's a really good observation. In the past, there's been a tendency to, you know, wait and see what the results of a criminal investigation or a Civil False Claims Act case are before moving forward. These numbers suggest to me that in some cases the agency is taking a more proactive view. It gets tricky when you have a potential criminal case, however, because the Justice Department does not want a debarment action to do something that's going to prejudice their criminal case. And so there may have to be coordination there between agencies.
And I wonder if sometimes external forces or external pressures cause this. I'm looking at Health and Human Services, according to the GAO report. They debarred three people in 2009, six in 2010, 10 in 2011, one last year, or 2012. And last year, it jumped to 47. Now, that coincided with the failure of a major contract. Could that kind of thing sensitize an agency? I mean, is there a public pressure aspect to this sometimes?
Well, there's certainly some. I think these agencies are reacting to some pressure, and I think the 2011 GAO report turned the heat up on them. And so the six agencies, Commerce, HHS, Justice, State, Treasury, and FEMA, did what they were told to. They put in suspension and debarment programs with dedicated staff. They put in policies and procedures and encouraged referrals, which generally means working actively with the IG's office on cases that they've turned up. And all of those activities ultimately bore fruit in this last fiscal year when the amount skyrocketed.
And how long is the process that the agency takes before they make a final decision on a suspension or debarment?
There's no particular formula. Generally, a suspension or debarment will go on for a few months in terms of the proceedings. From the point of view of the contractor, however, once it gets a suspension letter or even a letter that says it's being proposed for debarment, it can no longer get contracts or options exercised on contracts. So the effect of it is immediate and then if you're in that situation, you're playing catch-up trying to get reinstated as a contractor. The better course for a contractor is whenever you can, and when you see this sort of thing coming down the road, to proactively go out and engage with the suspension and debarment officials and see if something can be worked out that will avoid the need to start the process.
We're speaking with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And if you are debarred or suspended at one agency, does that poison you for everybody else?
Yep, it is government-wide in application. The record goes into SAM, the System for Award Management, and you can't get contracts or any kind of federal assistance, such as a grant or cooperative agreement, from any federal agency.
What about a work order, which is, I guess, or a task order? I guess that's a contract, too.
I believe so, yes. I believe that it applies even at the task order level. You're cut out of that business, and you're cut out of option exercise. Now, there is an exception for situations where the government absolutely needs to have, your work. That's going to apply in a very, very limited phase. You might recall that IBM was proposed for debarment by one of the smaller agencies some years ago, and that exception sort of got used a lot to keep people getting IBM maintenance and other things that they absolutely needed. There was such an outcry of in terms of the effects of that the agency withdrew its recommendation very quickly.
And, Joe, if you look at these numbers going from nearly nil in 2009 to 271 in 2013, it raises the question to me, how many more are these agencies missing? I mean, do you think they've hit the ceiling, or in fact, they are only getting a small piece of the pie when it comes to contractors who maybe they should suspend or debar?
Well, that remains to be seen. I don't think the actual number of truly fraudulent contractors is all that large. This is a smaller instance of a larger phenomenon that's been going on since the explosion of contracting in the 2000s. The administrative staffing in the agency has not kept pace either in quantity or quality, and contract administration has been under-resourced across the board. It looks like they're ramping up in these agencies, contract administration, and on the enforcement side. Hopefully, they're also increasing it and improving its quality across the board, because that's what's really going to get benefits for the government in terms of executing its mission, making sure that the people who are out there are doing a really good job in all the aspects of contract administration, not just the enforcement.
And what can contractors do to avoid this? I mean, I guess to put it another way, what is the most common reason that the government says you're out of here?
Well, the most common reason is, I think, still is conviction of a criminal offense or a civil false claim. And you know, in terms of those activities, you've got to put in place good corporate governance, good business governance, and good processes to ensure an ethical operation. That I think is something that has to start at the top and permeate the organization. But you know, once that's done, the rest of your obligation is to be diligent, and if you see a problem, address it quickly and forthrightly.
And Joe, does this overall trend, is it healthy for the procurement ecosystem?
I think, I mean, it's healthy to the extent that we're weeding out people who shouldn't be in contracting, and certainly there are some of those, and the system should be taking care of them. I'm not sure it's entirely healthy if it gets to the point of finding folks who've made a mistake somewhere and chucking them out just to keep the numbers going. It's very hard without looking into the nitty-gritty details of these cases to figure out where we are on that spectrum. That type of information is not readily available. It might be an interesting thing, maybe for the folks at the George Washington University to take a look at in their government contracts program. They've done some interesting research in that area with Dan Gorton and some of the others.
All right, Joe Petrillo is procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo and Powell. Joe, as always, thanks for enlightening us.
Thank you. Great talking to you.